Hola, mi nombre es Sabrina Espasandín y bienvenidos al podcast The EdTech de Sophie Bailey.
Hello, my name is Dean Jacobs and welcome to the EdTech podcast.
Hi, my name is Sabrina Espasandín and welcome to the EdTech podcast.
Everyone, I hope you've had a fantastic week and you're listening to this episode doing something really exciting, like commuting into work, doing the washing up, or dragging yourself around the park on that run you've been meaning to go on. This is the EdTech Podcast, the show about education innovation in and out of the classroom, and you are very welcome. Before we kick off, a few announcements. If you're in the UK and focused on UK EdTech innovation, the UFI Charitable Trust are launching a new round of its seed fund to promote digital solutions for vocational learning. There's up to £50,000 available for projects of up to 12 months duration, and the Stage 1 application form will be live from 24th of April. But if you want to find out more, you can go to a workshop on the afternoon of the 4th of April at the Museum of London. Details in the show notes. Thanks also to Alex Kelly, director at Unifrog, for his review of the podcast on iTunes. Alex said, "Great podcast, keeps you up to date with what's going on in EdTech." Thanks, Alex. We love reviews, and if you'd like to add to the list, go to iTunes or your podcast player to leave your feedback. We'll read out over the coming weeks. Right, on to this week's show. This week, we're in takeover with Wibu, an educational video game studio based in London, UK. Wibu are a group of game developers, linguists and language teachers with the goal of modernising foreign language learning. Their game Ruby Ray for tablet and mobile is available now on iOS and Android for tablet and mobile to teach Spanish for English speakers, English for Spanish speakers and English for Portuguese speakers. English for Mandarin speakers will be available in the summer of 2017. In this episode, we look at the demand for language learning resources, current language learning innovations, and the role of gaming for language acquisition and engagement. We're in conversation with Sabrina Espasandín, an English as a foreign language teacher with 16 years experience in Argentina and over 5 years teaching EdTech innovation in schools across Spain. Joe Sayers, head of product at UK-based ELT Jam, a digital product and UX innovation lab, and Dean Jacobs, CEO and co-founder of Wibu, London-based with 8 languages under his belt. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback. Check out the show notes and Twitter at Podcast EdTech for all the extra links and have a great week. Yay! To kick off this episode on language learning innovation, I met with Joe Sayers, head of product at UK-based ELT Jam, popular blog and innovation lab, to find out where ELT is going and what role innovation and gaming may have to play. Here's Joe kicking off with what ELT Jam do.
So we work with various different organisations from different sides of the education industry, helping people to create more effective digital learning products. So we work trying to improve the learner experience that is delivered by the products that we're working on, and also to help organizations to develop in a maybe more iterative or more agile approach to their product development.
But what did this mean when it came to trends, gaming and language learning engagement?
I think sort of the main innovation from a publisher perspective isn't necessarily particularly new, but it's a move towards blended learning. And I mean, obviously that's been going on for a long time, but that has had a huge impact in terms of a lot of effort from publishers on creating large learning management systems, focusing a lot on platforms that can deliver their content in a more digital way. Yeah, I think that's had a huge impact from the traditional education side, but it hasn't really been that innovative in terms of massively forward-thinking activity. And then I suppose the big impact in the industry has come from the likes of Busuu, and I think more significantly actually Duolingo coming in and saying, actually, you don't need to go to a language school, or you don't need to learn English or learn languages from a centre. You can actually self-study. Another real advantage of this sort of game-based approach. So much of learning currently happens through very learner-orientated interfaces. You know, you feel that you are in a learning product, and very little is done where you're learning, but within the sort of interfaces and the environments that you're that you find yourself in your normal life, like not your education life. And I think that's a big problem for ed tech and for education, that you're trying to make the greens a little bit more appealing, you know, trying to sort of sugarcoat things a little bit, but still ultimately it's a sort of very clearly an education interface. And I think bringing gaming into it can actually flip that a little bit. And you say, actually, this is just a fun place to be. This is a really motivating and engaging activity for you, full stop. And you happen to be getting this educational benefit. The challenge there is, okay, well, how much of an educational benefit are you getting? That's going to be an interesting transition. Whoever manages to get that balance right, I think, could do really, really well, especially, as you said, in terms of getting teachers to recommend these products to their learners. And as the flipped classroom becomes more of a commonly used tool, I guess, there's going to be more demand for things that teachers can give their learners to do outside of class. Maybe separately to a sort of that structured flipped learning approach, there might just be things that teachers will want to say to their kids, adult learners as well, spend your time doing this on your commute in. You know, if you're going to be playing on a game, you might as well make it this one where you're actually learning something. One of the potential benefits of gaming within language education is the motivation, so keeping people motivated, but then also helping people to bring education into things that they're otherwise interested in, rather than it being a separate pursuit. And actually, there's lots of examples of products that try to utilize that motivation by getting people to learn from videos or song lyrics. That's been something that's been around, you know, quite a while in terms of creating products for that. But then I think the gaming thing is probably just harder to do. It's quite easy to think of how you can get somebody to watch a video and then add a language learning layer to that, either one that's particularly, like, you know, very obvious or a bit more subtle. And same with music and text that people could read online. But with gaming, I think that a lot more needs to happen sort of behind the scenes in order to make that actually an effective combination. And also, I guess, like, having that narrative arc. And, you know, it's very hard to make a really compelling game. You know, some obviously do really, really amazingly well. But there are lots that sort of fail. Yeah, I think that would be a challenge. And if somebody can get that right and do that educational side of things, but also create something which is really engaging, then there's a load of potential there, I think.
So, gaming is hard, but the potential reward is big. After this throwing down of the edu gaming gauntlet, I wanted to get an educator's perspective before finding out from Wibu what the theory was behind Ruby Ray. So I spoke to Sabrina Espesandin, an EFL teacher with 16 years experience in Argentina. First off, I asked her where the demand for English as a foreign language was coming from.
So basically, there's been quite an evolution in the case of EFL teaching in Argentina. I would say about 20, 30 years ago, knowing English as a foreign language or as a second language was something, a bit of a luxury, let's say. It would be for some private schools or those people who could afford some kind of education outside school. But for the last 15, 20 years, it's become part of the curriculum. As from 2006, the government of the city of Buenos Aires has stated that all public schools should have English starting from the first grade as part of the curriculum. So it's become a mandatory subject for both private and public schools. So it has definitely changed a lot in the past. Like, if you went to interviews, they would appreciate you knowing English, but now it's like you should know English plus other languages and stuff. So that has definitely changed. And there's been a lot of investment as from the government in that respect.
But what about the use of resources for English as a foreign language? Here Sabrina talks about the way she got extra materials to her students.
Well, there's been quite a variety of, because I work both in the public and the private sector. So I would have more resources or fewer resources depending on the situation. But basically, I've started my EdTech journey about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. Most of the resources I found were online. Definitely in the past years, I would create virtual classes and try to work online collaboratively, particularly in Buenos Aires, which is the capital city of Argentina. The government implemented a one-to-one program. So students would have a laptop that they would be able to take home. Basically, what I try to do is, since they have such a short number of hours of English as a foreign language in the curriculum, what I would do is to extend those activities. So I would usually create blogs or wikis, and I would upload all the content that we practice in class. So they would be able to continue that practice at home. And sometimes they would share it with their brothers or sisters, even with their parents. And that definitely increased motivation in them.
With this motivation in mind, was there a role for gaming to keep students focused and engaged? Here's Sabrina's response.
I definitely try to include gamification. Games were always part of my teaching practice, whether I was using technology or not. And I found, for example, in online, let's say, resources, I would find sites like Hoot or Quizzes as very, very helpful in order to include that element in my classes. And I remember whenever I used a Kahoot, for example, and I would try to set it up to get it ready for my students, and they would listen, you know, they would hear the song it plays before the game starts. And, you know, they would, like, their heads would spin backwards and say, oh my God, we're playing Kahoot. And give me five minutes. And they would get incredibly excited. And that is definitely something that I once I started with that, I always kept in my classes.
So how does gaming fit into a wider philosophy of education? And what are the challenges?
I don't like to subscribe to just one school of thought. What I would try to foster would always be communication. So I would try to focus all my activities on working on that. There's a lot of theories as far as like neuroscience or, you know, but as long as it served that purpose and students enjoyed my classes and found, you know, English, like the whole content, something they could relate to and they could enjoy and have fun and learn through it, then I would apply that. I've started learning English when I was 5 years old, right? So, yeah, because we started in kindergarten, then all through primary school, secondary school, and then I started the teacher training college. But I remember I would tell my colleagues that it was really important to learn a different language, started from scratch. So when I was in college, I started learning Arabic from scratch. And it was the best decision I could ever make. Then I started learning Italian. But the point was learning a language from scratch puts you in that situation, that inability to communicate this amazing idea you have in your head that just comes out, like blurts out of your mouth in a very simple language. So that is a tip I would always give my friends or my colleagues when they would complain about their kids not understanding the instructions or not being able to remember the vocabulary you taught them last week. And I would say, what if you learn English from scratch? You forgot because you've been, you know, being a learner for so many years that you kind of forget that, you know, anxiety of not being able to communicate the way you want. Despite the differences in culture, I don't know, we speak the same language, but the cultures are quite different. But despite the difference in, you know, the curriculum, the government policies, etc., the fears are always the same. Many teachers are afraid of change and of incorporating different technology elements into their classrooms because they feel like their students know more about the technology itself than they do. And what I usually tell them is that, you know, change is a constant, unfortunately for some, unfortunately for others. It's something you have to come to terms with. And knowledge is accessible everywhere, 24/7, on books, on the internet, on YouTube, on tutorials, on whatever you want it. I think that switch you need to do, you know, that learning takes place 24/7 on any kind of platform, connected or non-connected, that you are no longer the sole source of knowledge, but rather a facilitator, is one of the biggest hurdles I see.
But can gaming help support that switch, supporting teachers to facilitate learning out of the classroom? In the case of Wibu, and going back to Joe's questions, what was the educational theory behind Ruby Ray? Here's Dean Jacobs, CEO and co-founder of Wibu.
So we're an education video game developer based here in London. We develop video games to learn languages. Our game Ruby Ray teaches English to Spanish and Portuguese speakers and also Spanish to English speakers. And we'll be adding new languages throughout the year. We're a team of 15 game developers, linguists and language teachers. And this is our mission, to teach the world languages through more engaging ways, through entertainment in particular. As you know, our philosophy is that motivation is the number one factor to successful language learning. You know, as anyone listening will know who's tried to ever learn a language, it takes years and years to learn a language, to get really good at it, to feel really comfortable with it, and to be ready to go out into the open world and use it. And for young people in particular, maintaining the motivation to last 5-10 years studying a language is difficult. It's tough. They have other pressures going on in their lives and at school. And so we want to deliver that language learning content in a more engaging, motivating way. So Ruby Ray is a 3D narrative-based adventure game currently for mobile and tablet, where the user plays as Ruby Ray, who's a young space explorer. So she spends her life traveling through the universe, taking photographs. She crash lands on an alien planet with her spaceship and robot Molly, and Ruby's mission is to find her spaceship and return back home. And along the way, you meet some hilarious characters. There's lots of beautiful subplots and beautiful scenery that you travel through. And Ruby Ray for us epitomizes, the character Ruby Ray epitomizes the essence of what language learners are and what they become. She's inquisitive, she's friendly, she's engaging, she's emotional, she strives to understand others, she's empathic. And we want to be able to show users what it can feel like to be a language learner.
So what's the pedagogy behind language acquisition and Ruby Ray?
We're also very into looking at language acquisition theory. One of our favorite theorists and linguists is the American Stephen Krashen. And we look at his five hypotheses for language acquisition, which all line up perfectly with the development of video games. So one, for to give an example, one is his effective filter hypothesis, which is to do with the detrimental effect of pressurized environments for memory recall, for memory in general, particularly with language learning. So this is why with Ruby Ray, for example, there are no tests, there's no exercises, there's no grammar lessons, there's no vocabulary list that you need to memorize, there's no right or wrong. It's a totally pressure-free environment. It's all about immersion and emotion. So another one of Krashen's hypotheses that we look at is the input hypothesis and the idea of comprehensible input. So the idea that what you expose the language learner to should be a combination of already existing knowledge, which he denotes with the letter I, plus a little bit of extra new knowledge that is at the time unknown to the learner. But as a whole, that input is comprehensible and understood by the learner. So we do this in Ruby Ray. The entire game is in the language that you're learning. So if you're learning Spanish, all of the dialogue are in Spanish, but the user is able to tap on certain words and phrases in order to translate them back into their native language. And once we've given a user enough exposure to certain words or certain grammatical items, we begin to remove that ability to tap the words or phrases into their native language, because that has now become their existing knowledge, their I. And what we do is we then inject little bits of new knowledge into those sentences that we believe that the user will be able to understand as a whole. And that's how they progress, and that's how they learn more language. I think in terms of number of hours, you do hear all sorts of numbers thrown out there. You hear stats to do with the number of times that you need to be exposed to a certain word or vocabulary item before you actually internalize it and memorize it. I think it's more about long-term engagement. I think we've become very focused on short-term metrics and on telling our audiences, hey, use our product and you can learn 200 words in 20 minutes, or stick with this for 30 hours and you'll learn, you know, 5 weeks of Spanish. Where actually, I think, to help people understand the power of language and what it can do for them in their everyday lives, I think they do need to stick with it for longer. So we're at Wibby, we're focused more on long-term metrics and actually reversing those drop-off rates with, you know, GCSE uptake or university language learning uptake, keeping people engaged with language learning products right throughout their early teens or even a younger age, keeping people motivated, keeping them engaged, keeping them learning.
What does this mean for teachers like Sabrina, who are helping learners to pass specific exams or follow particular curriculums?
We've made a very conscious effort to make sure that all of the content in the game is in line with all national curricula. So to give an example, our ELT product uses the Cambridge KET curriculum, which is predominantly the A1 and A2 curriculum. We expose the learner in Ruby Ray to around 90% of all the grammar topics in A1 and A2 curriculum. We use the vocabulary lists from that curriculum. We use the functional structures from that curriculum, and that forms one part of our three content set. So one part is the Cambridge KET curriculum that we use. The second part is our own Wibu curriculum that we use, and that focuses specifically on issues that the learner has with English because of the influence of their native language. So actually, our game, the script for our game, the dialogue differs between the version for Spanish speakers to learn English and the version that we're now developing for Chinese speakers to learn English. So to give an example, the phonemes, or, you know, the actual speech, Spanish speakers typically have issues with certain sounds in English that are different to what Chinese speakers have. So we alter the content, and that then creates an additional challenge for us as developers as well. And, you know, we can't necessarily go and create a new version for everyone around the world, but we have certain ways of creating clusters. So we can create clusters with Romance, you know, speakers of Romance languages wanting to learn English, where all of those scripts make heavy use of cognates, for example. Or we may have clusters of languages that don't have a verb to be, or don't have much of a concept of time and tenses. And we'll create script clusters that help us develop the content there. And we also, in the game, you know, we have practice for reading, writing, listening, and speaking as well, which is also a challenge, building into a video game to deliver active language learning content in something that needs to remain very engaging has also been a challenge. But we've done a really good job of contextualizing the speaking part of the game. Let's take English language learners as an example. You know, when they're on the internet, for example, we want them to be able to engage with communities on the internet, and that involves needing to very often understand colloquial language. You know, I think, you know, we see very much our tool as a complement to formal instruction and to teaching in schools and language institutions. I personally had incredible teachers growing up. I'm very grateful for the language teachers I had who were my inspiration to continue learning. And there are, you know, thousands of brilliant teachers out there doing the same all around the world. What we're trying to do is to help create an emotional connection for particularly young people that perhaps, for example, don't have the opportunity to travel abroad. They aren't able to get that fully immersive experience by traveling to another country. So we're trying to bring that to them, bring them a more immersive experience, which is, you know, engaging as well as emotional, and it's deeply contextualized so that we can take them into a fantasy world in a video game and keep them engaged in that way.
So who's behind Wibu, and what was Dean's own lead into learning 8 languages and developing a mobile game for language learning?
So what's great about our company, I think, is that we have a mixture of game development experts and language experts, and that's both within the operational team itself, but also at a higher executive level on our advisory board and among our shareholders and our investors. On the team itself, we are all game developers, linguists, language teachers, people that have been working in languages for 10, 15 years, people that have been working in gaming for a similar amount of time. On our advisory board, we have Professor of Linguistics, Dr. Aquilino Sanchez from Murcia in Spain, who's been with us since the start for the last 3.5 years. He's been fantastic in advising us and helping us shape the curriculum and shape the linguistic theory behind what we're doing, and to ensure that it is backed up with proven language acquisition theory. We're also very fortunate to have Nick Jenkins as one of our investors, who was the founder of Moonpig. He was on the board of ARC Education Charity and is involved in many educational projects around the world. He has a fantastic mind, and he's just a great business mind. We also have Ian Hetherington on our advisory board, who was managing director of Sony Computer Entertainment Europe in the 90s. He developed the video game Lemmings, which I don't know if you remember from the 80s or the 90s. So I did fall in love with languages at probably the early stages of secondary school, and that continued right up through university. I ended up studying 8 languages when I was at university, and then went on to work as a translator and an interpreter. After having done my master's in translation and interpreting, I've always been in love with learning languages. I feel very fortunate living in London, where I can go out on a Saturday night and meet people from all over the world. And it's actually probably one of my favorite things about speaking other languages is just being able to connect with people. I don't think it ever finishes, does it? When you start learning languages, I think it's like getting the travel bug as well. I think it's, the more you learn, the easier it gets. The more you experience the benefits of learning language, learning languages, the more you realize, hey, if I learn this extra language, I'm now able to speak to an extra 20 million people in the world. I think the need to learn languages has always been there. Personally, I grew up during the internet boom myself. So when I was 12 years old, I remember a modem coming through my door. I installed it. Ramped up a massive phone bill, which my parents weren't too happy about. But at the same time, I discovered this world where I could connect with people all around the world. That's where my personal love for languages started. I realized that I could, make new friends around the world by being able to speak to them and connect with them and understand them better and help them understand me better. And, it goes without saying that obviously the world has continued to move in that way and it's become ever more connected. Now more than ever, it's a time where I think we do need to continue to connect with people and empathize with people and try to understand people and teach people about ourselves and our own cultures. And that's why I think languages do that. Oh, my favorite language learning experience. I think it's undoubtedly the first time that I had real contact, I think, with someone who spoke a foreign language, which was my Spanish exchange when I was about 14 years old at school. And I traveled to Madrid and stayed with this girl, Elena, and her family. And I was on the outskirts of Madrid while all my friends were in the center. So I spent the whole week just surrounded by Spanish speakers who didn't speak a word of English. And that's where I realized the beauty and the power of what speaking another language can do and what it can give you. And I just fell in love with it there. And then I realized the emotional connection that you can develop by speaking another language and how it opens up your world to new people and how you can, and new friends, new connections. And I think that really relates to very, very closely with what we're doing at Wibu. We want to be able to deliver that experience to people that maybe don't have the opportunity to go abroad and to experience or have those emotional experiences. We want to bring those immersive emotional experiences to them through their mobile phones, through their tablets. Give them that exposure to a language that they otherwise might not be able to get. And do that in a really engaging way, in a way that give them that intrinsic motivation and that love for languages that I saw when I was 14 years old.
So that's it, folks, a whistle-stop tour around some of the drivers for increased English language learning, innovations and challenges, and the launch of Ruby Ray. That's Ruby Ray with an R-E-I, not Ray, R-A-Y, a new language learning game for English, Spanish and Portuguese, which you can download now on iOS and Android. Thank you to all the guests of this week's show, and here's Dean to close out with his experience of the launch after 3 years in development.
It's incredibly exciting, to be honest. The past 3 years have been a real eye-opener into the world of education, the world of gaming, the world of entrepreneurship. And I think for the whole team, it's just going to be a fantastic achievement to get this game out. We know it's a great product and it's already being extremely well received. And we're feeling great in the office. You know, we are there till 11, 12 currently. You know, the pizza is on tap at the moment, so to speak. But it's brilliant. There's a lot of enthusiasm in the office, a lot of optimism and real drive to get this product out there. And, you know, we're incredibly hopeful and optimistic as well that it is going to change the way that people look at language learning, change the way people interact with language learning, and realize that there are greater opportunities for fusing entertainment and education.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to check out Ruby Ray and send your feedback to @podcastedtech or the guys at wibu.com, @wibu_studios on Twitter. Sabrina is @SABRIEO, that's Sabrio, and Joe is @Joe_Sayers. If you're feeling really proactive and want to share your love for the EdTech Podcast first birthday episode, you can go to speakpipe.com/ the EdTech Podcast and leave a short message for our listener special. Otherwise, that's all, and have a great week.